proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, continuing our new series called Eight Marks of a Transformed Life. You know, we said that just recently that movie Transformers 3 was filming here in Chicago. But I would suggest that whatever success that film may or may not have, I pray that we will have great success here in being transformers, spiritual transformers. Last week we began the series by looking at that first mark of a transformed life based on the book of Romans chapter 12. We saw that first one is that a transformed life is marked by surrender, by a progressing surrender to God's agenda. Anybody here want to do what you want to do? Or is it just me who struggles with that? But God calls us to do what He wants us to do, His agenda, His purposes for our life, His will for us. And a transformed life, then, is a life that is marked by a progressing and constant, continuous process of surrendering to God's will, to God's agenda. Maybe some of you say, I want God's agenda for my life. I've seen what my decisions, what my choices, where they lead me. And I want something better. I want God's will for my life. So you might be asking some questions this morning like, well, how can I change? I see what is inside. I don't like what I see inside me, that sinful nature. The thing that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, that indwelling sin. I don't want that. How can I change? And then how can I know? How can I know God's agenda for my life? How can I know His will for my life, what He wants me to do? Well, these are some questions I pray that we will find some answers for this morning. Part 2, renewal. A transformed life is marked by renewal. It's renewed thinking, a change in our thoughts and our attitudes, and it results in knowledge of God's agenda for our lives. Want to know how do we change? How do we become different than what we are right now? We change our thinking. It's renewed thinking. And when our thinking is changed, then we are changed, we are transformed. And then we'll not only know God's agenda, God's will for us, we'll actually even delight in that. We'll know it and we'll delight in it. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to page 1123 in the Pew Bibles? It's Romans 12, chapter 2. Before we read that, just a reminder of what has come before. Verse 1 of Romans 12 says, therefore, Paul speaking here, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He's being urged. This is the strongest possible language he is using. We can't force someone else to do what we know is good and best for them, can we? As much as we wish we could. But what we can do is urge them, and this is the language here. He's urging us to do this. To offer up all that we have, all that we are, to God as living sacrifices, and that this is reasonable and appropriate. It is an act of worship, because in worship we consecrate or we dedicate something to God for His use. Surrender to God. Offer yourself to Him. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a command here. Been told first to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, and now we're told, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to what? The pattern of this world. The implication here is that the Romans were in fact doing that. Because notice it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's kind of our default position, isn't it? Is to mold ourselves into our environment and what's around us. In fact, I like, some of you may have heard this before. You know, sometimes we will hear things and it just sticks with us years and years later. And one of those things that has stuck with me, I read a long, long time ago, it was the Bible scholar and translator, J.B. Phillips. He wrote a paraphrase. And his paraphrase of this statement goes like this. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. And isn't that an interesting way of thinking? Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. It takes you and it forms you and it makes you into the pattern of others around you, into the pattern of this world. So let's break this phrase down a little bit. Do not conform. This word which is translated conform here, it refers to forming an outward expression that in the case of the Christian does not reflect what is really inside. See, there is something new and wondrous inside you as a believer. And when we conform to the pattern of this world, there is this pressure from without that is squeezing us and making us appear on the outward side in the image of the world. Its thinking, its attitudes, its behaviors, its beliefs. So assuming an outward expression that doesn't express what is really inside, it is an act or a masquerade. And so I ask you again, what are you inside right now? What are you inside? Well, the truth is this, you are a new creation. You have a new nature. You have a new capacity to live in such a way as to please the Lord. And that is who you really are. Do you believe that about yourself? That's who you really are? A new creation with a new capacity to serve and love and obey the Lord. It's who we really are. And it is out of that nature or that capacity that we are to live. We're not to live out of that old sinful nature or capacity that has been crucified with Christ. The old nature has been crucified with Christ. Sadly, until we are with the Lord, it remains a part of us. It remains within us, though, doesn't it? In the flesh. But our essential nature is a new nature. So don't conform any longer to this outward pattern of the world. The world, it's more accurately translated, this age. This age, it is the spirit of the age. It's the beliefs and the values of this world and this time. It's a mindset that is focused on the here and now, which is passing away, rather than eternal things. It's a mindset of rebellion against God's holy desires. It's a mindset of rebellion against His will. It's a mindset of radical independence from God that says, I won't listen to what you say, God. I will do what I choose to do. It's also what? What is the spirit of this age? What is the pattern of this world? What else does that look like? You can preach to me for a minute here. It's what? Instant gratification. Okay, that's part of the spirit of this age. Instant gratification, good. What else is it? Materialism. Okay, what else? Me first. Good. No, me first. Right. Thus illustrating the problem, doesn't it? It's selfishness. It's sensuality. It's depravity. How many of you in here believe that your sinful nature is depraved, totally depraved? You all ought to be raising your hands on that one, because it is. Does total depravity mean that every person is absolutely as morally repugnant as he could be or she could be? No. It means that we are fallen in every way and that there is nothing within us that is capable of pleasing God. We are all totally depraved. That's the sinful nature. And that's the spirit of the age that reflects that. Materialism, me first. Instant gratification, me, me, me. And so Paul is saying to the Christian, don't let that kind of mindset, that kind of thinking, squeeze you into its mold so that you think like that and act like that, because that's not who you really are inside. So Christian, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but rather what? Be transformed. So the command is do not conform, but be transformed. The original word here, which we translate transformed, is the word from which we get our English word metamorphosis. That is a change from the inside out. Conformity is a response to pressure from the outside. Transformation is a change that comes from within. So it describes a change in outward appearance, kind of radiating from the inside out. So rather than letting the world squeeze you into its mold so that you think and act like it, change from the inside out. Transform. In effect, we're being told, become on the outside what you are on the inside. Now, wait a minute, you just said on the inside there's that sinful nature. And yeah, that's part of it, but that's been crucified with Christ, hasn't it? Who we really are is a new creation with a new nature and a new capacity. And so our outside, our behavior, our attitudes, all of that need to reflect the new nature within us. Become on the outside what you are on the inside. Not the old sinful nature, but the new, redeemed, holy nature. Because you are not just a miserable old sinner. You know what? Sometimes as Christians we sing, and maybe, and I've been just as guilty of this as anyone else, but sometimes we will refer to ourselves as sinners. That I'm a sinner. I'm just a miserable, poor old, wretched worm sinner. Well, you know what? We all were. Before Christ forgave us and transformed us. And we still struggle with that sin nature, don't we? We still sin sometimes. But in effect, you are not a sinner. You are a new creation who struggles with sin. But you're not a sinner in the way that you were before you believed and you were transformed and given a new nature. You are redeemed, holy, beloved, son or daughter of God Most High. Do you believe that? Because that's who you really are inside. Interestingly, this word, which is translated transform here, it's the same word which is used to describe Jesus in his transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. You know the story there. His ministry, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and he went with them up to the mountaintop, and there it says, the text says that he was transfigured. It's the same word. It's he was transformed, is what it literally says. What it's getting at? Well, it's saying that in a brief and limited fashion, Jesus appeared on the outside what he is on the inside. That is, that holy and divine nature and his glory, that radiated and appeared on the outside, the reality of his glory on the inside. And in effect, that's what we're being called to do, not to become divine, but to reflect his divine light. Also, we might translate this as be continually transformed. Because that's the tense of the word. It's not be transformed a once for all deal. It's continually be transformed. It's an ongoing, constant process, not a once for all time act. There's only one thing that's going to occur one time in one grand and glorious fashion, and that is our glorification when Christ comes again and these bodies are raised and glorified. Until then, this side of the grave, this side of his coming, it's a process, isn't it? Now someone is thinking, you know what, that sounds great. I want to be continually transformed, but how do I do that? How can I be continually transformed so that I am becoming in my outward life, my behavior, my attitudes? How can I become more and more in my outward life what I am, in fact, in my new nature? How do we do this? Well, we do it through the renewing of our minds. The mind in Scripture is the center of our thoughts and our attitudes. It's our thinking. What do we think about things? You know the old expression, we become what we think about? What are our thoughts? What are our attitudes? We must constantly seek to have our thinking renewed. To be renewed is to be refreshed and to be in conformity with the new nature. That our thinking ought to reflect the new nature that is within us. In other words, we must think like redeemed men and women and not those miserable old sinners we all were. Okay, so I transform by renewing my thinking, what I think on and how I think. Well, how can I think more and more like a redeemed man or woman of God? Paul calls this the mind of Christ. How can I have the mind of Christ? Well, I can tell you the answer is not new. We'd bet you already know what the answer is. How can we renew our thinking? In fact, I'll put you to the test. How can we renew our thinking? How do we change our thinking? Read the Bible, the Scriptures, right? We study and we meditate on the Scriptures. We know that. What else? Pray, right? Prayer is, again, not prayer as, Lord, please do A, B, C, and D, but prayer as dialogue with God, waiting on God, listening to Him as well as speaking. What else? Obey, okay? Obey what He says to do. It's amazing when we take that step of faith and we obey what He says to do, even though it's hard to do, somehow then the power to change and transformation seems to come about as a result of our obedience, doesn't it? What else? Let go? Well, that depends on where we are. You know, some places you don't, it depends on where you're standing. But in life, yeah, we let go. It's what it's, again, that's that attitude of surrender to God, right? It's trust and faith. So studying God's Word, studying and meditating it, praying, being in conversation with Him, that attitude of surrender, an attitude of obedience, fellowshipping with one another, which is what, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, correcting one another. Now all of you say, well, I know that. I knew that. I didn't need to come here to hear that this morning. I already knew that. Well, if you're like me, sometimes you need to hear things again. But what I want to say to you, and I want to say to myself this morning, is we know these things, and we know these are what we need to be doing if our minds are going to be renewed. What I want us to take away from this today is I want to encourage you to persevere in these things day in and day out through the seasons of life. That's something we're going to talk about at a later time. I want to talk about the seasons of life, the seasons of our spiritual life. It's easy to obey, to study God's Word, to pray, to fellowship when everything's going great, isn't it? But what about when things aren't going so well? That's when we need to persevere. What about those dry seasons of our lives when we feel like we're in God's Word, but we're just not getting something out of it or as much out of it as we used to? What about those times when we pray and it feels like they're just kind of bouncing off the ceiling right back at us? Fellowship with other believers. What about those times when our relationships with others bring us pain rather than joy? That's when we need to persevere through these things. As we said, as we know from our study in Hebrews, the Christian life is all about persevering or continuing on. And so transformation is an ongoing, continuing process of renewal of the mind as we're doing what we know we need to do, persevering in it day in and day out, and God works through that to change us and renew our thinking. He works to continuously renew us. Well, what happens when we obey this command? Do not conform, but be transformed. What happens? There's a promise here. The result is this: you will know and you will delight in God's will. We persevere in these things. We're continually transformed. We're able to discern and delight in the will of God. Now, I don't have time for the whole study of it here. I know some of you have been studying the will of God recently. It was in the adult Sunday school class. There was a sermon series on this a few years ago. Suffice to say for now, but this is one of the questions, people: how can I know the will of God? And what I would suggest to you this morning is that the will of God is less some mysterious target to shoot for and more a current, clearly revealed attitude and behavior in the Scriptures. You know what I'm saying? The will of God is how He wants us to live, the kind of people He wants us to be. And yes, I do believe that we need to seek Him for guidance. I do believe He has purposes and plans for our lives. But our focus on the will of God is primarily about our character and the kind of people we are. And that's exactly what's being talked about here. Now, I had some wonderful, very well-meaning people in my life, earlier in my life, who used to tell me, Dan, if you want to know God's will, and they'd point to this, if I have some big important decision to make, do I move here or go there, take this job or that, if you want to know God's will, well, right here. You know, when you're being transformed, then you will know God's will. And they meant those kinds of decisions and choices. And that's really not what this is talking about. God's will here, God's agenda, is who He wants you to be, the kind of person He wants you to be. That's what's in view here. Here it refers to the moral will of God, the kind of person God wants you and me to be. It says when we are being transformed in this way, when our thinking is being renewed, then we'll be able to test and approve God's will. That is, we'll understand it. We'll discern it. We'll discern what is pleasing to Him. And the amazing thing is you will delight in it. You will want it more than anything else. You will test it and you will approve of it. It will be delightful to you. How many of you think that God's will for your life is a delightful thing? You know what? I've been there myself, and there's even a little part of me that still feels that's a little bit scared about God's agenda for my life. Because He just might ask me to do something hard. He just might ask me to stop being so selfish and start loving more. But the truth is when we are being renewed, we not only understand what God wants us to do, the kind of person He wants us to be, we'll actually find it delightful. Holiness is delightful. How many of you think holiness brings joy and delight? You'll understand it, you'll want it more than anything else, and you wouldn't trade it for anything else in the world. All of a sudden, your agenda is going to pale by comparison. And you want God's agenda for your life. You will want what is good. God's will is that which is good. You will want that which is pleasing to God. Notice it says his will, that it is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Not necessarily always pleasing to you or me. How many of you have discovered that God's will isn't always immediately pleasing? But in time, isn't it? Absolutely. It is what is good. It is what is pleasing to God. And it is what is perfect. Perfect is another word here for holiness. Holy. God's will, God's desire, he desires what is good, what is pleasing to him, what is perfect. That is, it's holy and righteous. So when we are being transformed, when our mind, when our thinking is being changed, we'll know, we'll understand what God wants, and we'll delight in that. And we'll want it more than anything else. Say, boy, that does sound great, but I want to talk for just a moment again about the process of renewal. I know it sounds horribly cliched, but it's true. This doesn't happen overnight, does it? There are certain spiritual disciplines in our lives that we're called to persevere in. We've talked about some of them, about scripture study and meditation. If you don't have that, commit yourself to say, you know what, I am going to spend time. Isn't it amazing the time that we can find for all kinds of other? I have no trouble finding time for sports and news. I'm not probably not going to have any trouble finding time for the NFL today. Well, maybe a little bit because of another commitment, but believe me, I'll catch up on it later, okay? Because I've got it TiVo'd, DVR'd the game. We find time, we make the time for the things that we delight in, don't we? Make the time for God, and you will delight in that, and you will delight in that time in His Word. Prayer, fellowship, the spiritual disciplines. There will be ups and downs. There are going to be times of rapid growth in your life, and there will be times when the growth is slow and painful. And there will be times when you feel like you're going backwards. You know, I think back now, I think that the greatest period of growth in my life at the time, if you were looking at me from the outside watching this process, you would say that was the most miserable and going backwards time of my life. And that was precisely what God used to send me forward. Seasons of life. We'll talk more about that later. If you want a good resource for this process of transformation, this process of change, came across something, a book a while back I think is really great. It's by James McDonald. It's called I Really Want to Change. So help me, God. I really want to change, so help me, God. He talks about preparing for change, the process of change, and the power for change. Here's he's a preacher, he can't resist that temptation to alliterate with the P's there. Prepare, process, and power. Prepare for change, he talks about taking out the garbage, and he puts some lists there of things in our lives, of sinful attitudes, and I got to tell you, if you go into that with an open mind and heart, ready for the Lord to speak to you, you will not want to look at that full list there. But he gives lists there of things that we can check, that examine your heart in the presence of the Lord. What are some attitudes and behaviors and things in my life that need to change? And we need to commit to taking out the garbage then. He talks about the process of change, that it starts with repentance. Well, saving faith begins with repentance, and growing faith is also about repentance, that change. Repentance literally means what? To change your mind. So change your mind about those sinful things. Commit to choosing the right live in the fact that you are dead to sin and I am dead to sin as believers. We're dead to sin and we are alive to Christ. And then he talks about the power for change. All of that information doesn't help us one bit if there isn't any power to act on it, does it? And so he talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in his power in transforming us. He talks about the disciplines, Word of God, and prayer, acting in faith, and the importance of good friends, of Christian fellowship. So if you're looking for something, some help on this, I'd highly recommend that to you. I just want to ask you a few questions here to close. First of all, do you want to change? Sometimes that's the hardest part right there. We know that our sin is wrong. We know that it ultimately it makes us miserable, but maybe we don't really want to change because there's a certain warped and sinful pleasure that we get out of it. There's the old expression about sometimes people have to hit rock bottom before you're ready to change. You know what I've found is rather than waiting to hit rock bottom, I found it's better to ask God to make me want to change or willing to change even when I don't want to before I have to hit rock bottom because I don't want to do that. Does anybody want to do that? No. So maybe you want to change. If you do, you know what to do. But if you don't really want to change, then may I lovingly urge you to ask God to want to change, to make you willing. And are you persevering in the transforming disciplines? Not giving up, but continuing in them through all the seasons of life, knowing that transformation is an ongoing, continuing process, not an instant thing, not a once-for-all-time thing. And do you delight? Do you delight in God's will? Have you found that, have you come to that wondrous and wonderful place in your life where you don't want anything else? You know what I found is that you can come to that place and then God begins to reveal other things to you and you realize, just when I thought I wanted God's will more than anything else, there's that sinful side of me again that doesn't want to undergo the scalpel of God's word. But you submit to that, and then you ask yourself, why did I wait so long? You want to change? Are you persevering in the transforming disciplines? Do you delight in God's will? Do you want to delight in God's will? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, of this age, which is passing away, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we confess we don't always want to change. There are sinful habits or sinful attitudes that may have such a strong grip on us. Maybe we feel like we can't change, or we derive some sinful pleasure out of that. God, I pray that we would want to change. If we're struggling with that, Lord, make us willing to change. Make us willing to be willing if we need, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the person who's in a winter season of life right now. Give them your grace to persevere, to stand up and stand firm through that. We rejoice, Lord, for those who are in the summer of life. God, I pray that every one of us here would want more than anything to delight in your will, to want your agenda for us more than anything else, because it is in that, Lord, that we find true life and joy, purpose and meaning. It is that which brings you glory, and you are worthy, Lord. May we walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.